नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, The Descent of River Ganges. The 17th chapter describes the origin of the Ganges River and how it flows in and around Ilavrita Varsha. There is also a description of the prayers Lord Shiva offers to Lord Shankarsana, part of the quadruple expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Vishnu once approached Bali Maharaj while the king was performing a sacrifice. The Lord appeared before him as Trivikrama, or Vamana, and begged alms from the king in the form of three steps of land. With two steps, Lord Vamana covered all three planetary systems and pierced the covering of the universe with the toes of his left foot. A few drops of water from the causal ocean leaked through this hole and fell on the head of Lord Shiva, where they remained for 1,000 millenniums. These drops of water are the sacred Ganges River. It first flows into the heavenly planets, which are located on the soles of Lord Vishnu's feet. The Ganges River is known by many names, such as Bhagirathi and Janavi. It purifies Dhruva Loka and the planets of the seven sages, because both Dhruva and the sages have no other desire than to serve the Lord's lotus feet. The Ganges River, emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord, inundates the heavenly planets, especially the moon, and then flows through Brahmapuri atop Mount Meru. Here, the river divides into four branches, known as Sita, Alakananda, Chakshu, and Bhadra, which then flow down to the ocean of salt water. The branch known as Sita flows through Shekhara Parvata and Gandamandana Parvata and flows down to Bhadrasha Varsha, where it mixes with the ocean of salt water in the west. The Chakshusha branch flows through Malyavan Giri, and after reaching Ketu Malavarsha, mixes with the ocean of salt in the west. The branch known as Bhadra flows onto Mount Meru, Mount Kumuda, and the Nila, Sveta, and Sringavan mountains before it reaches Kurudesha, where it flows into the ocean of salt water in the north. The Alakananda branch flows through Brahmalaya, crosses over many mountains, including the Hemaketu, Hemakuta and Himakuta, and then reaches Bharatvarsha, where it flows into the southern side of the ocean of salt water. Many other rivers and their branches flow through the nine varshas. The tract of land known as Bharatvarsha is the field of activities, and the other eight varshas are for persons who are meant to enjoy heavenly comfort. In each of these eight beautiful provinces, the celestial denizens enjoy various standards of material comfort and pleasure. A different incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead distributes his mercy in each of the nine varshas of Jambadvip. In the Ilavritavarsha, Lord Shiva is the only male, where he lives with his wife, Bhavani, who is attended by many maidservants. Then the other male enters that province. Bhavani curses him to become a woman. Lord Shiva worships Lord Sankarsana by offering various prayers, one of which is as follows. My dear Lord, please liberate all your devotees from material life and bind all the non-devotees to the material world. Without your mercy, no one can be released from the bondage of material existence. Text 1. Sukadeva Goswami said, My dear King, Lord Vishnu, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, appeared as Vamana Deva in the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. Then he extended his left foot to the end of the universe and pierced a hole in his coverings with a nail of his big toe. Through the hole, the pure water of the causal ocean entered this universe as the Ganges River. having washed the lotus feet of the Lord, which are covered with reddish powder. The water of the Ganges acquired a very beautiful pink color. Every living being can immediately purify his mind of material contamination by touching the transcendental water of the Ganges, yet its waters remain ever pure. Because the Ganges directly touches the lotus feet of the Lord before descending within this universe, she is known as Vishnupadi. Later, she received other names like Janavi and Bhagirati. After 1,000 millenniums, the water of the Ganges descended on Dhruvaloka, the topmost planet in this universe. Therefore, all learned sages and scholars proclaim Dhruvaloka to be Vishnupada, situated on Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. Purport. In this verse, Sukadeva Goswami describes the glories of the Ganges River. The water of the Ganges is called Patita Pavani, the deliverer of all sinful living beings. It is a proven fact that a person who regularly bathes in the Ganges is purified both externally and internally. Externally, his body becomes immune to all kinds of diseases. And internally, he gradually develops a devotional attitude towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Throughout India, many thousands of people live on the banks of the Ganges, and by regularly bathing in her waters, they are undoubtedly being purified both spiritually and materially. Many sages, including Shankaracharya, have composed prayers in praise of the Ganges, and the land of India itself has become glorious because such rivers as the Ganges, Jamuna, Godavari, Kaveri, Krishna, and Narmada flow there. Anyone living on the land adjacent to these rivers is naturally advanced in spiritual consciousness. Srila Madhvacharya says, Varahe Vamana Padam Tu Tad Aneshu Anyeshu Tadakshinam Padam Kalpeshu Bhagavan Ujjahara Tirvikrama. Standing on his right foot and extending his left foot to the edge of the universe, Lord Vamana became known as Trivikrama, the incarnation who performed three heroic deeds. So in describing this whole structure, we're coming across bringing out the elements of what's happening here. Now, naturally, you're going to describe what's going on around here, because then that defines what people do here, right? Means, why do you have karmakandis, right? Because they feel they can get a better material existence, right? So therefore, they work hard. And naturally, if you do small things, you get nice here. But you can also work so you can get nice somewhere else in the universe, you know, a better nice, you know, move to the next, you know, borough or something, right? You know. So the idea is that one sees all this, and having understood the extent of what's going on, then one understands that's all that's available. So it's not that special. So then when you compare it to the spiritual world, the eternal position of the spiritual world, and the amount of happiness and everything that's there, then you can see there's no comparison. Because otherwise, we think here is good, you know, or okay, but there are better places. And then just a little beyond that, okay, is the spiritual. Right? Because if I'm doing something that's basically okay, then endeavoring for something that's good or better, I won't be as determined. If I find I don't have anything, and that there is something else to be had, then I make a greater endeavor. Does that make sense? You know, you're working hard, you're studying, you know, let's say you're getting, you know, 87% marks. You may not feel inspired to work that little bit more to get 90%. But if you figure out that you're doing, you know, 29%, so you don't even pass, so therefore, then you might make a greater endeavor to get beyond. Does that make sense? So we're thinking here is pretty good, But when we actually see that what's here compared to what else is in the universe, and then see how that doesn't compare to what's in the spiritual world, then we become inspired to give up what's here and have placed our faith and our endeavor in what's there. Right? Because that's the whole point of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam's all about pure devotional service. So all these elements are elements that will help us in appreciating pure devotional service. So now in this discussion about the Ganges, then we see that an interesting element, Prabhupada is pointing out, just living on the Ganges, especially by being there, seeing the Ganges, bathing in the Ganges, then one gets purified internally and externally. So much benefit. Externally, one's freed from disease. Internally, then one gets purified, develops up to the spiritual platform. Now we see is that Prabhupada's pointed out that the Dhruva and the sages are purified very quickly and attain to that transcendental platform because that's their interest. They're not interested in material. So if you already have that determination of not being interested in material, then the Ganges will purify very quickly. But if not, one will get purified anyway, but it may take some time, right? Because when we're dealing in the material world, thousands of lifetimes is not really a big deal. You know, if you've been here since time immemorial, what's 1,000 lifetimes? Right? You know, someone's doing something for 1,000 lifetimes, okay, now that's some commitment. You know, we're worried about, somebody committed right now. But, you know, we're talking about, 1,000 lifetimes. You want to be good at something in the material world, you know, you commit 1,000 lifetimes. Right? So that's more. So even for marriage, you're only talking about 7, right? You know, so it's serious. You're talking about something serious. So then, but what's being offered is that in one lifetime, one can come to the transcendental platform. Therefore, then, taking seriously the chanting, taking seriously these aspects of living next to the Ganga, taking advantage, bathing in the Ganga, as opposed to the local Bengali saying that those who live by the Ganges bathe in a tube well, you know, in a hand pump, right? You know. It's so much easier. It's just right there. In Ganges, you have to walk a little bit, right? So these aspects are to see what to take advantage of, because everything else, a key point that was made here is you have what's below this planetary system and what's above this planetary system, then that's only where you're getting the results of activities previously done. You're not generating new karma. You're just enjoying results. Just like when you're on a vacation, you're not generating new money. You're spending money. Vacation means spending money, right? That's the whole point, is that the fun of the vacation is spending the money, right? Ask the wife. That's the whole point, right? You know. So then that's what goes on, and that means out of 13 planetary systems, that's all that happens. But then on this planetary system, there's 9 Varshas. 8 of them are also doing the same thing. Right? It's an earthly level. It's a higher earthly level. You know, like the whole place is, you know, how you say, I can't even pronounce it, but what's it, Champs-Élysées or something like that. You know, the whole place is like that. So it only leaves this one Varsha here, Bharat Varsha, which is the place of activity. Prabhupada mentioned that here. It's the place. So this is the only place in the whole universe you can do something that then generates the karma for the next life. So that's very rare. Right? It's very rare. And then, within that, then it's being pointed out, these places next to the holy rivers and that, then are even more special, because then, just by bathing in the river, you get purified. Right? So, the ideas is that we take seriously what we have. Otherwise, then, you know, we just take it. Mayapur is a place, you know, it's hot. At least now it's so hot, there's no mosquitoes. Look at the bright side, right? It's so hot, the mosquitoes can't breathe, right? Now, if it cools down like one would want it to, then you're going to get mosquitoes. So be happy, right? So this whole idea is that you take advantage of what's there. Otherwise, we take it for granted. Otherwise, why discuss the whole universe? Right? What do we have to do with the rest of the universe, other than it's Krishna's creation? But as far as a place to go and visit, we're not interested. Right. So, yeah. So this is the aspect that we're trying to appreciate, is that when we describe the structure of the universe, it's so that whatever interest might be there in something fancier than what we have, yes, it is fancier, but still, it's got the same problems. You have the same dissatisfaction. Don't worry, the guy living in Beverly Hills thinks his house isn't quite as good as the one down the road, right? He can only fit 3 cars in his little parking lot to his garage. The guy down the street, he can fit 4. Right? He's got a nice backyard, but the other guy's got a huge backyard. Right? You understand? Ours is a nice house. He's got ivy growing on it. You know, ours is done in, you know, one particular style, but he's got some other classic stuff. You understand? Whatever it is, someone's always better. That's the point. There's always something better. So you get exactly the same thing. All it is that you get jealous in a little bit higher grade situation. That's what you're trading in, right? It's not that you're sitting there on the sidewalk in Calcutta and one of your neighbors there, you know, in your little, you know, slum dwelling there, he comes down the road with a big grin on his face, you know, rolling an old tire, but it's quite a good old tire. And then he rolls it up there and tosses it on top of his roof, you know, and has that air about him of success, right? And you're looking at that, and that tire is so much better than the one on your roof, because when the storms come, your own roof, the plastic tarpaulin bounces a little bit. But he's got a tire, there's going to be no bounce. You understand? So it's the same thing. You just move it up to the middle class, you move it up to the rich, you move it up to the really stinky Limburger rich. You know, it's still the same. So you just move it up to the other elements within the earthly planet, the other 8 varshas. You move it up to the other aspects of Antariksha, the lower heavenly planets. You move it up to the higher heavenly planets, but there's 8 of them. And then Indra, so there's 22 total all there within the subdivisions. But they get jealous of those who are in Satyaloka. They look so much better. Right? They're so much more powerful. Right? So much more knowledgeable, so much more respected. Indra, the king of the universe. But, you know, Bhrigu or Brihaspati walks into his court, he has to bow down. Right? And then there's Brahma. Right, the Prajapatis, and then Brahma, and it's just like, it's a whole trip. Right, as we saw, then Brahma, he thought he was doing pretty good, until, you know, Krishna asked, which Brahma? And it's kind of like, what do you mean, which Brahma? There's only one Brahma, that's me, hey. You know, and then all these other Brahmas with, you know, 1,000 heads, 10,000, 1,000,000 heads, right? You know, so you got 4 heads, and 1,000,000-headed Brahma walks by. You know, it makes you, you know, feel bad. You know, you got your chain on, you know, this little 1/16 of an inch, you know, chain. You know, you're feeling cool, and this guy walks by with this, you know, 5-kilo chain down to his knee. You know, you feel bad, right? So that's the whole thing, is that that's what goes on in the universe. So these things are discussed, that you know that there's nothing out there. Otherwise, by speculation, we'll think, okay, I got this, but if I just add this, then I'll be happy. Right? How many plans do we have? I just add this. Okay, I got this, and then if I just make this adjustment, then everything will be perfect. As soon as you get it, then something new comes out. Right? And so it's not perfect anymore. Right? So that's just how it goes. And even if it is perfect, it gets old. And then when you go to buy a new one, they don't make it anymore. Right? Because it is so perfect, who wants to buy it? Right? Who wants to buy something that lasts so long? I remember one person was telling me they were looking for some cloth. And they went to one, you know, reputed shop, and they had the front of the shop, and then they had the old, you know, back, the older part of the shop. And they're looking at the cloth in the front, says, not so, you know, this is not such good quality. He says, yeah, it's, of course it's not such good quality, but how many times are you going to wear it? Right? You know, you're going to wear it, you know, 1, 2, 3 times, and then wash it, and then it's going to get, you know, you're never going to wear it again. So now why, and they said they want better stuff, and they found in the back, says, why would you want to buy that? That, you know, will last you 10 years, and you'll still never wear it. Well, this one, you'll wear it a few times, get your money's worth, and it's gone. Right? This is an actual conversation. So that's the thing, is people don't really, they talk about quality, but who wants quality? You know, it's expensive, you have to take care of it, right? Cheap, you don't have to take care of. It breaks, hey, what's the big deal? Expensive, you got to take care of it. You know, you get a dent in your, stainless steel plate, you're not so worried. You know, you got this Noritake, you know, china, you drop one of those, that's an anxiety. Where do you get another one? You know, you're going to fly to Tokyo or what? You know, so it's just, you understand? So it's a problem. So here is the pointing out is that whatever you have, there's always better. And no matter what it is, this universe, this is the smallest of all the universes. Literally, we're the smallest. That's why our Brahma only has 4 heads. So there's the same kind of thing, much more. Like that. So all these are just to brought out that there's nothing, whatever situation we're in, it's never that great. But the spiritual world, now that's consistent. Right? Not only is it already better than anything, unlimitedly better than the material world, but it's always getting better. Right? So that's the, how you say, as the Acharyas mentioned, it's getting better all the time. Right? That's the spiritual world. Okay. Any questions or comments? Or... Yes. And try that thing if it works.
What is the perfect form of jealousy in the spiritual world?
What is the perfect form of jealousy in the spiritual world? Is there any particular reason you picked jealousy as opposed to, you know, respect or cleanliness or...
As you mentioned in how in all the realms of the material world, from the lowest to the highest, somebody's jealous of someone above them.
Yeah.
Where's all this coming from?
Where is it coming from? Okay. So it has to be coming from a situation in which social status has meaning, right? Other than structure. You understand? See, there's social status that in itself has a position of satisfaction, and then there's structure which is based on duty. Does that make sense? Means, in other words, if you want something to work, you do have to have a hierarchy. You can't get around it, you know. Say whatever you want, the anarchist, there is a leader of the anarchists, right? And there is a hierarchy. They'll say all they want about structure, this and that and all, but they can't function, right? You know, otherwise they blow off their own foot or something, because no one would move whatever it is, you know. So it won't work. You have to have structure. Now, it's whether the focus is on the structure for what you, the position you have, or whether it's the structure itself, right? In other words, the situation, how important is that or not, right? So as we discussed last week, is that when you're dealing in situations in the spiritual world, you have two basic positions, that of majesty, that of sweetness. So majesty is based on duties. So the hierarchy is a necessity to create that grandness of the Lord's position, right? So therefore, that greatness is there as the Lord becomes greater because his associates are so great. You understand? So it's part of the mood. So it's not a problem there. So you don't get it. There's no jealousy there. You don't have that element, right? You know, there may be the interest to do a service, but the point is it's based on service, right? Now you take that into the arena of sweetness, then it's more about the relationship. So then the position of the individual then adds something to the relationship, so that then itself becomes more about the individual. Does this make some sense? Right? Yeah. So then, but why are those individuals there? It's simply, again, just for the Lord's pleasure. So the other is you want to please the Lord through appreciating his greatness. Here it's a matter of you want to please the Lord through appreciating the sweetness. Right? So sweet doesn't necessarily mean great. Right? When you say something's cute, does that mean it's so grand and powerful and, you know, commanding? Right? Does that make sense? You know, the businessman comes out in his three-piece suit and, you know, doing his, you know, presentation and all that. You don't generally, cute would not be a word that, you know, you'd want to banter around, right? Does that make sense? You know, because then it is less power. But there you can have those elements. So then that aspect of position where jealousy can come up, that can have an effect there, because then the people become more prominent than the structure. You understand? But you won't have jealousy within a group. But you can have jealousy between groups. Does that make sense? Very important to understand that. There is no jealousy in your group. If you're jealous within your group, then the spiritual world's not for you, because no one will hang out with you. There is no Facebook, there is no Twitter, and no one's going to listen to your pajalpa. Right? But if you are able to appreciate whatever the position, then it will work. Jealousy is simply another position that they're getting to please Krishna. But it's understood that our group can please Krishna better. It means others are great, but we can do better. Right? So, you know, in our position, that is the fact. The others take that mood just to add to the flavor. You understand? It's not a fact, but they take it just to, you know, it's just like, you ever seen, you get, it means when you're doing the promo for like a big boxing tournament, each guy says, yeah, the other one's useless, I can beat him, yeah, that first round, right out, you know, each one says that. You know, it's not a fact that they think that that's the way it is. They know that, you know, it's just, if you're not careful, anything can catch you. Right, so, does that make sense? It's not your intelligence that knocked you out. It's what you didn't see. Right? You understand? So, but they do that as it's rasa, gets people interested. So that's the whole point. You enhance it by everybody feels they're the best ones. They can do the best service. Right? And then it makes the position of the groups have meaning. So then that jealousy will come from there. But it's only in how to serve Krishna better. It's not about how I'm going to be served better. That's the difficulty. All these good qualities that are used to please Krishna on the personal platform in the spiritual world are used on the impersonal platform to please ourselves here. But the soul can only function on good qualities. You understand? It, just like, why is there the term honesty amongst thieves, right? Because even they work on good qualities, right? everybody has to work on superior qualities because that's all the soul can be attracted to, because Krishna is the superior quality. But they only apply it for themselves. Right? So it's generic. It's on the Brahman platform. It's to do with the body. So they're applying these good qualities on dead matter, manipulating dead matter to get benefit. My dead matter should have more benefit than your dead matter. You know? My dead matter is better than your dead matter. Yeah. You know? So that's the whole thing. While in the spiritual world is, yes, one knows one's position. Right? Just like there was one devotee in Calcutta. He went into Prabhupada's room and then he started praising Prabhupada. He's, you know, so wonderful and special and the greatest and all this. And Prabhupada just very soberly looked at him and says, I know who I am. Right? And so they know who they are, but the point is that has to be engaged in Krishna's service. So that's the whole point. This is just fact. It's not me being special. I'm getting my 15 minutes, that's a goal. Being special is just normal. If you're not special, how are you part of the spiritual world? But the point is Krishna's the most special. Right? And so then engaging our specialness in Krishna's specialness, that's what you're trying to do. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. Yes. No. Oh, it's going this way.
So what makes that in some parts I am jealous of others, but in some parts I am satisfied what I have?
I said, no. We're sad means the jealousy element, it's not a matter of getting something for ourselves. It's a matter of service for Krishna. So in other words, they've done this service and so we can do better. And so that means you increase your service to Krishna. And then the others seeing that, they increase their service. So you have a transcendental competition. So it works very nicely.
Spiritual platform.
That's on the spiritual platform. Here it goes the other direction.
But in the material platform also.
In the material platform.
In some parts I am satisfied with what I own. What I achieve.
No, if you're satisfied with what you have and you achieve, then you have more of a chance of getting out of here. Right? Krishna mentions in the 11th canto, someone who's not too disgusted or too attached, they can actually take up Krishna consciousness. Because if you're too attached to something or too detached from something, and like when devotees get on a campaign, it's too detached or too attached. It'll get in the way of devotional service. Does that make sense? So the thing is it's balance. So what you have, that's good. But you perform your duties. So in the performance of your duties, what does action do? If I perform an action, what happens? There's a result. So it's just how Krishna's energy works. Is I'm supposed to be active. That activity will produce a result. Naturally, my facility increases. But I'm doing it because I'm supposed to be doing it. Because, see, if there's an environment of work ethic, then others who want to work, it works nicely. Right? Now, if Krishna comes with his entourage, who are not lazy, right? There's no laziness in the spiritual world. No one feels tired or fatigued. Right? So there's no laziness. So therefore, if they come here and want to perform pastimes, how do you do it in a culture that laziness is considered good? Right? That's why you see there's no incarnation. There was no incarnation in the 50s, right? You know, where being lazy was considered, you know, good. You know? Does that make sense? Right? So he comes to where the culture is, you're active, you're performing your duties, because they're performing their duties, but they want ultimately the material result of the benefit, but they're functioning goodness because they're supposed to do it. But they're from the spiritual world, they're acting in pure goodness because they want to please Krishna. You understand? So goodness and pure goodness, it basically works together. You know, if you're a good musician and someone's a great musician, you can work together. But if you're a great musician and someone's a bad musician or, you know, can't carry a tune in a bucket, it's a problem. Right? You know? And they don't make buckets big enough. Right? You know, so it's... Does that make sense? So you want to get something that matches. Does that make sense? So therefore Krishna can come into that environment and interact. Duryodhana, it's not a problem culturally interacting with him because they have the same kind of foundation, just that he wants more. Right? That's always his position. He wants more. So there you have that envy, jealousy taken to the point of envy. And then that's where it stops functioning. Jealousy can create competitiveness, but as soon as it turns into envy, it becomes useless. You understand? So that's the whole point. They should remain in their position. They're doing great, but we'll do better. Right? So that's the thing. It's a standard theme. Right? When you have somebody great, it's annoying if there's no one else great. Like Banasura. 1,000 arms. Who can do anything? Like that. You know, so then he's going and beating mountains and stuff like that. Or maybe it was Kartavirya or Arjuna, I can't remember, but he had 1,000 arms. He couldn't, you know, who's to fight with? Being so powerful and everybody else's, you know, doesn't compare. What's the meaning? Just like Bhima, does he go out and fight with the other Kshatriyas? Not so much. He goes and fights with the elephants. Then there's something happening. I mean, Kshatriyas get, you know, our collateral damage, right? Because if you pick up an elephant and toss it, sitting on top of the elephant's a Kshatriya. So you've fought with the elephant, but you've taken care of the Kshatriya as a side, you know, as a side dish, right? You know. Does that make sense? So you want to do something. So here is that greatness, you want someone else great. It's about rasa. Like that. Ultimately it comes down to that. When somebody's so great, they want someone else great. It's a very common theme, you see, even in the Western, is that you have, let's say, the big, you know, bad guy, but his meaning is only if there's a really big good guy. The two can't function without each other. He's so good unless there's somebody really bad, what does he do? And the other guy's so bad unless there's somebody so good, then, you know, there's no challenge. You see it through history. It's standard. So therefore, jealousy is the limit. As soon as it turns into envy, you destroy the situation, you destroy yourself. So that's the problem. We're self-destructive. We're here and, you know, whatever we have, because of envy, we destroy everything around us. You know, we're doing something, we have friends, and we see an opportunity to get a little more. We get that little more, but then we lose the friends. What's the point? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Yes, you had done.
Hear that the Ganges especially falls on the moon planet.
Yes.
Moon planet. I was reading in the Radhavind Canto yesterday that the moon planet's born from the ocean of milk, and therefore, according to Jiva Goswami, it's a war.
Yes.
So please, or maybe you can make a comment on it. How come, if the scientists are studying the moon planet, how come it's so different?
Okay, well, yeah. Well, so what is the ant's opinion of the very nice hand-carved 1880 dinner table sitting in the middle of a, you know, fancy room with a coffered ceiling and, you know, all the nice Elmiras around that have all the, you know, solid silver paraphernalia in it, where they're serving a 20-course meal? That's the whole point. What does he see? He just sees the hard, flat surface of the table and occasionally something that somebody dropped on it. That's the problem, is that we have imperfect senses, but we think that through my imperfect senses, I will understand truth. So there's a limit. You know, you also have the element is the more See, is let us say you have the woman at home. You know, she's with the husband. The mood is very comfortable, very relaxed. Then her care about her dressing is very minimal. Let us say the mood's a little tense. It formalizes a little. They have guests over. It's a little bit more. They go out in public. It's more than that. They go out into a place in the world where if they see a little piece of skin, they go nuts. They wear a burqa. You understand? So it's just a matter of who's dealing with you is what you see. And that's the whole point, is the one woman can show all these different facets to all the different people that are in the room. So one sees the closeness, one sees the formalness, one sees like that. So it's just the way it's arranged. The energy is just, they cover and open where, like that. That's the thing, is it's so much more powerful than we give it credit for. That's all, you know, like that. So. Yes.
How is this jealousy and, you know, competitive mood reconciles with Trinada Pisunishina and humility?
Yes. How can it reconcile? Because what are you jealous of? On the transcendental platform, what are you jealous of?
Somebody serves Krishna better?
Yes, but are the facilities a problem?
No.
Is that they have served Krishna a problem?
No.
So then, that's the whole point. It's, in other words, they did such a nice job, you know, we'll do a better job. So is there any destructive element? Are you criticizing at all? Do you have to, in other words, do I have to say that they did a bad job to make my job look okay?
Not
you know, they're not politicians, you know. I don't have much to offer, but the other guy has less to offer, so vote for me. Right? You understand? So it's not working on that. It's working on the principle of they can see all the good qualities of the other person, and they've used them so well. But we can also do that, not only that, because we can do better. Because it's just like something comes up, someone does something, you have a point of reference, so you can improve on that. Right? Does that make sense? You know, someone's made a sabji, we can make a better sabji. You know, they put some special ingredients, we can put more special ingredients. Or, you know, they garnished it, so then we'll garnish it and put it in a nicer, you know, pot. You know, and then they'll do, okay, well, we'll put a nicer pot and we'll put it in a nicer situation. You know, and then, okay, we'll do the nicer situation and then we'll add, you know, nicer serving. Well, we'll do that, we'll add some music. You understand? So you can just, so unlimitedly you can just continue serving Krishna. So you're respecting what the other person's done, therefore the humility. See, in the material world, the jealousy is that, oh, who are they? They're useless. It's technically called, but it's called, because it's not direct, we don't make it an issue that we go after them, we don't call it envy, only when they go after them, but actually it's just a soft form, it's just soft envy. It's not actually of a superior quality that it's, you respect the other person and okay, so that's the bar, okay, we gotta go above that. No. Yes. I think it's on the side, yeah.
Hare Krishna. We're talking about jealousy and envy, and then you talked a lot about unsatiated want. You get this, you want that, you get that, you want this. I was just thinking that jealousy, envy, desire, want, the real basis, and it's evidenced in Bhagavad Gita, is lust. Could we not say that lust is actually the common denominator of jealousy, envy, and...
Yes, you can say.
and all that jazz?
Yeah, all that jazz.
And I was also thinking, you know, everyone's wearing that T-shirt, Being Human.
Oh, you know, I haven't seen it.
Being Human is a movement.
Being Human.
Being Human. I think one of the Bollywood actors, what's his name? Shah Rukh Khan started it. Being Human. I was thinking that's actually
it's a,
our...
It's a step up.
Yeah, that's actually our problem, you know? Not being human is our goal, especially in Krishna consciousness. But in Gita, the all-devouring sinful enmity, it's lust. So it's actually the basis of jealousy and envy.
Yeah.
And I want this. You're never... Unsatiable.
Yes.
So yes. I'll make it into a question. What do you think about that?
Yeah, great comment. Yeah, okay. Next. We touched on it last week, is that, or it was just Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes the point that the function of the jiva is love of God. He doesn't say it's the goal, it's the function. Right? So it's the nature, it's slightly different. Means, of course, one wants to get to the platform of love of God, but having gotten there, it's your nature. It's your position. It's your existence. So then it's a matter of expressing it is your goals. And because that way then it can go on and on and on. Because otherwise, then once I get it, okay, hey, got that. Now what next? Okay, you know, climbed, you know, K2. I've done this. I've done that. I became Lord Brahma. Got prema. Okay, now what's the next challenge? You know. So it's just the function. So therefore, that's just the existence is prema, and so then that prema becomes the basis for an endeavor to express it, so that you've expressed it. That's the goal. And then as soon as you've expressed that, that becomes, again, part of the field. And then now with that greater field, you express again and unlimitedly go on expressing that love. So now if you don't take up the love, then the perverted form of it is lust. That way lust becomes the basis of, you know, or the function, you could say, of the living entity and conditioned consciousness. So everything is based on that. The ultimate goal of everything in the material world is lust. Even though you have all these superior qualities and endeavors, it always ends in lust. In some way, that's why we say it's a waste of time. Even though someone's doing fabulous things, it still ultimately will end in lust because it's not endeavoring for love. Now, if you take whatever you're doing in the material world, connect it to the Lord, then even though it may not have a savory beginning, then it has the proper end. So then the result, then and then that result moving back, now that becomes part of your existence. So then your existence is always purified. Just like if I have a glass that's full of ink, if I pour in 50% milk, then I only have 50% poison. Right? Then I pour in some more milk, you keep going, eventually at some point. So the idea is that I keep, even though I may be materially motivated, but the result was to please Krishna, having gotten that result and having done service to Krishna, that becomes part of my field of activities again. And now my field of activities is improved. Though it may be one thing I've done and there's still 99 others that's nonsense, but it's still 1% is good. Now if I do it again, now it's 2% and I keep going, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Like that. So then, you know, but one wants to continue, you know, 2% is good in the tea, but you want to, you know, continue until you get 100%. That makes sense. Yeah. So yes, everything in the material world is basis is lust, because there's only two functions, love or lust. Love means it's for Krishna, lust means it's for ourselves. So it means that we only have these two options, right? So then it works out. Okay, so we'll end here so that everyone can go for the darshan. Jai Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandini.